Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. So glad that you are here. So glad you're tuning into these podcasts, and I'm excited to bring this to you. You know, I have been doing a lot of recording because I'm preparing for my new launch of the radio program called Beyond Everything Radio. So as a result, I've been going back into these archives from 2012 and 13 and 14. And I've really enjoyed kind of going back and doing these before I had the podcast and turning them into podcasts because it's content that a lot of people simply have not heard yet simply because they signed in way later in the game. And it's also they started out before there was a podcast. But man, I am noticing that there's a little more of an edge back when I started than where I'm at now, which really is an interesting story about progression and forgiveness and kind of the softening and different kinds of perspectives that you have. It's not that I don't still have some of those same very strong ideas, but they've been tempered for sure. And I think you're going to hear that in today's post a little bit. A lot of this is content that I always regurgitate. I've been saying these kind of things for a number of years, and this is proof. This one comes from May of 2015, and it's called The Gospel That We Just Can't Believe. The Gospel That We Just Can't Believe. And so when this blog posts to Twitter and Facebook, there is going to be a portion of my audience that will see the word gospel and immediately just roll their eyes and move on. I mean, there will be another person out there that looks closer in an attempt to kind of sort of scrutinize whether or not I was able to represent the gospel according to their understanding of it. I mean, it's a loaded word for sure. And there's still others out there who become interested in the subject of the gospel because it remains a little bit of a mystery to which, you know, they find themselves strangely compelled. And man, isn't that cool? If that's you, if you hear the word gospel and kind of become curious, man, that's a great place to be. That's where you can really uncover some neat, neat things. And I've conducted an informal survey a long time ago. And I did it by asking a number of people online and in person this question: what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And the answers are interesting. I mean, here's a couple of the standard replies, which you might have heard before. I wonder if yours is in this list as well. The big one is, it's the good news. And that's just because gospel means good news. It comes from our Greek word euangelion, which means good news. Some people say that the gospel means that Jesus died for our sins. Certainly that's included in it. Some say that the gospel means that the Messiah has come. Some would say that it's the way a person can get to heaven is through the gospel. Others say the gospel are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And others say the gospel is simply the story of Jesus. And, you know, there's a sense where all of these are correct for sure. And I'm not here to criticize anybody's understanding of the gospel. I think we're all going to have a nuanced perspective depending on who told us what it is and what we've come to believe it is. But, you know, while all of these things are true, there's a sense in which that's not all that's true about the gospel, right? I mean, for instance, what happens if we go into the office and announce across the boardroom table one day on a conference call that you have good news for everyone at the company? And everybody's like, okay, what do you got to say? And I say, Jesus died for our sins. Now, I'm sure the pregnant pause would emerge on the other side of the line and in the room. Like, where is he going with this? You know, when Paul talks about the gospel, how is he referring to the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, given the fact that they probably were not even written yet? You know, so if the gospel is good news that the Messiah has come, then why aren't our Jewish brothers and sisters convinced? And how does a Messiah actually change anything about the modern world we live in of politics and business and education and sports and religion? And you see, these are the kind of hard questions that I like to ask. I think we live in a postmodern world that asks tough questions of faith and of religion, and so I'm not afraid to ask them. And once again, we can see that we have confusion over the terms. You know, language is a very challenging medium in which to convey deep reality. And it's really all that we have. I mean, the term gospel is in danger of becoming a nebulous term like God, because it can mean almost anything to anyone. And what's interesting is I use the term nebulous term like God, and after doing all these recordings for my upcoming show, I actually take that issue on in my very first broadcast. So quite interesting to kind of see how some of these thoughts just continue to churn up in my mind and bubble. But here's a question. Does the gospel exist until it exists for us individually? You know what I'm saying? It's like until the gospel actually means something to us personally, experientially, does it really exist in any other way other than just a definition of terms? I mean, what I mean is, it's not that there's no such thing as the gospel, only that it lacks significance and power until it permeates our personal reality, until the gospel actually comes through into our own inner experience. You see, only about 30% of the world would define themselves as Christians. So does that mean that the gospel only exists in 3 out of 10 people in the globe? I certainly don't think so. So the Apostle Paul preached much about the gospel, as you know, and it didn't start with him. He didn't say, I'm going to invent the gospel. He said that the gospel had been proclaimed all through creation under heaven. And he said that he became a part of it. Like he enlisted into the gospel that had been proclaimed under heaven all along. You can read about that in Colossians 1:23. So apparently Paul's definition of the gospel was not limited to Christianity. That is a huge statement. Think about that. When he says the gospel has been preached all along and proclaimed all along under heaven, and he became part of it, Colossians 1:20, he's not saying that the gospel is limited to Christianity. Or he's saying something massive about Christianity, namely that it actually goes way back. So Christianity cannot be this alternative religion. And obviously, this is another interesting post because that's also the subject of my first recording on my new radio program. So here we go again, going back and talking about these things. But to further underscore this point, Jesus himself, who's a Jew, he went into the temple and unrolled the scroll, which meant he read it out of order. And he unrolled it to the book of Isaiah and selected portions of chapter 61, proclaiming good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind. He talked about liberty to the oppressed, while at the same time he left out God's anger and judgment. Like he totally cut out that half of the chapter. And so Jesus was saying this prophecy written hundreds of years prior was now being fulfilled in their hearing. What an amazing story. And when he records that, when that is recorded, I should say, in Luke chapter 4:18, the good news there is euangelion. And so for me, these are the two verses which I quote over and over and over and over and over and over again and on so many posts, because they are the very biblical definition of gospel, from my opinion. Now, the people in Jesus' hearing couldn't believe their ears. They couldn't believe the gospel. And they, as a result, they drove Jesus right out of town. You see, Jesus' proclamation wasn't just for the Jews. And that was a frame shift, a big time frame shift. It was for all of those who were poor, all those who were captive or blind or oppressed. I mean, the Jews, led by Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul after his completion, I don't use the word conversion so much, the Jews were killing and persecuting the early church because their quote-unquote gospel claimed that Yahweh, the God of the Jews, was now saving non-Jews without requiring them to convert to Judaism.
You know, and in like manner today, I mean, most Christians would outright reject any gospel that would say that God would save non-Christians without having them convert to Christianity. I mean, if you came out and said the gospel is that God is converting everybody, you would have the religious people absolutely rejecting. They would refuse to believe. It'd be a gospel that religious people could not or won't believe. And it's good news, right? It is the good news. And it's that God loves and saves is, you know, there's the thing. I mean, it is good news that God loves and saves people. But is it good news if God loves and saves only some people? I mean, very few, while punishing the rest to an eternal torment of suffering and loneliness and darkness and blackness and pain, hardship? I mean, is that good news to you? So which is harder, helping a blind person to see or raising the awareness of someone to the point where they can perceive realities that are previously thought did not exist? I mean, what's harder, providing for the needs of the poor or coming to the awareness that our character has grave deficiencies and then beginning the hard work of personal transformation? What is harder, letting a prisoner out of jail or enabling a person to become aware of how fear and self-doubt and racial, economic, religious, and institutional power have stifled us from pursuing our biggest dreams and following our deepest passions? All those things are a form of prison to us. And so I believe Paul was right. The power to grow, evolve, and transform for the better has been with all humanity since the beginning of time. See, the gospel is about personal transformation. It's not a transaction. It's not, hey, you say this thing and then God gives you this thing. It's about transformation, and that transformation can take place in hundreds of thousands and countless different ways. And as a Christian, I understand that that power, even though it may not be called Christ, is Christ, because we see this cosmic work, this work taking place over all of human history, saving and benefiting people who had no idea who Jesus was in the first place. And I mean, you see that in 1 Corinthians 10:4, where Paul says, the rock that was Christ was saving the Jews. He calls the water Christ. So, you know, Matthew 25 and 45 through 46 talks about this. So, you know, see, the work of the gospel has helped people who have no idea who Jesus was. And this is why we can confidently say the gospel is not limited to Christianity, or Christianity's gospel is way bigger than what we've been given, which is an alternative religion. So the gospel cannot be an alternative religion. You know, there are many people who are not Christians. You know that, just like I do. And these people do not call this power that beckons them to become transformed the gospel. I mean, when you're sitting there and you say, man, I need to work out. I need to lose weight. I really need to finish my education. I need to get sober. I need to make some changes to my career. Like when you're facing personal transformation, that thing that beckons you, you don't call that the gospel. Most people don't, especially if you don't come from a Christian perspective. You call it something else. They call it a billion different names. But regardless of the title, it's the power that has gone out to all creation under heaven, and all people are saved or illuminated or transformed by its illumination. That's an amazing statement. It's an amazing perspective, but when we have it, wow, does the world just light up for us. And right there is where some of my Christian brothers and sisters are just going to reject this message. They'll just claim that salvation is only possible by conversion to Christianity, and that's the truncated, baby, small Christianity story. They've interpreted Christ's claim of exclusivity, you know, the one that says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by me. You know, that verse that's found in John 14:6. They interpret that to mean that Jesus started a new religion and only Christians get to go to heaven. But, you know, Jesus wasn't saying that. Instead, Jesus was saying that if any of us ever find our way to God, then it was the power of Christ that actually brought us there. It was the work of God to bring us to God. And this was not the initiation of a new religion, but the completion of all religions into one unifying power. You see, no religion actually gets us there. The power of Christ is what takes us from our religion into faith. And the gospel, by any other name, still holds the same power. So the gospel is far wider than both the believer and unbeliever will ever want to consider. You see, it's the good news for all comers, everybody. It's an invitation towards personal and global transformation, and it's the power to see it happen. It's found in the ground of all being. It's what gives any aspect of life true meaning. It's in every particle of the universe, yet it's so easy to miss it. Just by calling it something else, we miss it. And it's a kingdom that's led by a leadership force that's unlike our own. It's paradoxical, it's mystical, it's tangible. We only need eyes to see it. And even when we do, why is it so hard for us to believe it?
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.